Somebody help me preach. There's a whole lot of places you go and they'll shout the house down, but you tell them to quit talking bad and they'll look back at you and be like, well, I have the right to feel. I have the right to an opinion. You cannot tell me that I cannot state my opinion. I believe what I believe. That's one of my, that's the all-time classics. I believe what I believe, and that's what I'm going to stick to, brother. Well, bless God, you go ahead and stick to that. I'm here to tell you the Word of God says to reprove and rebuke. It says to repent. There's a lot of R words in there. Reprove, rebuke, repent. Also said to receive, right? But here's the deal. The first thing you have to do in order to start moving towards getting up is to acknowledge the fault. I know it's not pretty. We would never try to hold a church service to say, okay, everybody come in, just confess your faults and go home. While we'd have so much ammunition, if there were any news journalists in the place, they'd have such the best stories to write. Oh, Lord. Anybody tries to run for the office of the presidency, magically things that you never knew about somebody have come out and you know all about it. And with social media these days, I'd be afraid to ever fail because then everybody and their brother would know about it. And then they can start their own little Twitter group and tweet on how bad of a person you are. We've got an entire world that's living with a chip on their shoulder. We've got Christians that are living with a chip on their shoulder. And they want to blame everybody else because they can't get rid of it. But you want the reality? If you want it, hold it out. Hold out your hand and get it right now. Here it is. You've got to change you. They can't change you. You've got to change you. You've got to acknowledge that you're not perfect. For some of us in here tonight, that's going to be really hard. We're not perfect. I'm going to be the first one to get in line and acknowledge, Lord God, I don't have it all together. God, there are moments where I want to speak my mind and can't do it. There are moments when the presence of God is moving that I'm exhausted from the week and I'd like to just sit here and enjoy myself and sort of just sponge in what's going on. But here's the deal. When the presence of God is moving, you know what that's trying to do? Inhabit the presence of your situation. So many people are only stressing that Spirit is important for praise. But that's not why Spirit come. Spirit come to teach you. So as we repent, you know what you're doing? You're opening the door to your faults. And as you open the door, you know what that does? It exposes vulnerabilities, right? I know that you only get to hear me from time to time in this venue, in this presentation. But you know what? If you caught me at the right time, you'd hear me maybe a little bit down when I shouldn't be. You'd catch me in a moment where I'd be sort of down and discouraged about things. And I'm here to tell you, as human beings and things we deal with, that's normal. You cannot try to live your whole life escaping every bad thing. I have found that the quicker that I will face a difficulty, the quicker the victory can come. The sooner that I will acknowledge that something is not in my control, the quicker that God's hand can intervene and move in something. So one of the biggest things that I struggled with in the beginning of preaching was never feeling like that I was saying anything meaningful. You get up and there's people that say they're called to preach, and they just get up and preach stuff that other people they've heard preach all through the years. They don't even have any real substance of experience. They'll go through school and they'll be told what they need to say instead of having something burning inside of them that's meaningful. And we've got assemblies of people going and sitting under this kind of passionless knowledge. But knowledge alone doesn't change people. It's the anointing of His presence that causes us to think about what goes wrong. Because I'm here to tell you, friends, there's been some times that when I have failed, I didn't go run and get my Bible. I didn't run and flip the pages to try to make things right. But you know what did visit me when I failed? Conviction. Something began to stir in me and say, hey, what? Hold up here. You need to think about what you're about to do. You need to think about what you're about to say. And when I begin to yield unto that presence, instead of just doing what I feel like I know, things that could have worked out far worse had been mitigated to being a peaceful ending. When we fall and struggle and only do it our way, you know what you're doing? Can I go southern on you for a second? You're wallowing in the mud. And you can take a pile of mud that sort of dried up a little bit and start kicking around in it, and you'll get the moisture stirred in it again, and you'll be in a mess before you know it. Have you ever had the experience of being around or feeling what quicksand feels like? The best remedy that you can do is stay as still as you can, but the more you move, the deeper you get. And that's what I felt like, that some things that I've been through, I've been in Some stuff that I've struggled with work, needed an answer for, needed wisdom in, but the harder that I would try to do it my way, it felt like the deeper in my own fear that I got that I couldn't even accomplish what I was setting out to do. But in the moment and instant when I turned to Him and let Him have control, He not only picked me back up again, but He took what I was suffering in and worked it for my good. So if I serve a God that can do that for me and can pick me up when I'm down, then why would I ever come in and sit down on Him? Why would I ever let some fault that I don't want to address keep me from prospering? If it is His will for you to prosper and be in good health, you know what that means? He doesn't want you to stay down. Things look grim from time to time for all of us, for all of us. But the presence of God is what gives you the unction to reach toward Him again. So I'm just going to say this, and I guess I'll be done for the night. When you come in and quench the spirit, when it's time to enter into praise, you're quenching the presence that wants to increase in you to help you battle the faults within yourself. I used to be so shallow-minded in my thinking that we only would come up and shout and praise Him to feel good. But that is not what it is about for me anymore. It is not just to come in and have a good time. I want the anointing to live with me daily, every day. And that means you've got to worship Him every day. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Everything that you do, give Him a chance. Let God help you get up again. Stop quenching when you feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, I feel that. Stop quenching. Stop choking out what God wants to do in you. If He wants to stand you up and have you shout all over the house, then bless God. I would say that you do that. If He would have you to go and shake everybody's hand and tell them that you love them, I'd get moving. If I begin to feel His presence manifesting in me, I'd tell you the only thing I wouldn't do is just sit there. Because I'm here to tell you, you don't keep anointed preaching at a church if you're not willing to get in with it. He'll send it somewhere else. And He's not going to keep anointed, talented music and singing in this place if we're not going to get in when the Spirit begins to move. He'll send it elsewhere. And you know what you'll be left with? A church with nobody would wants to do nothing. Don't want to do nothing, but we all want something. And I've been to places like that before. They're dying. They're literally dying. Inside of the house of God, they go through the motions, but nobody's getting saved. They'll go through the motions and nobody's getting delivered. And even when people in bondage come in, they have not been in the presence of God in so long, they would not even be able to perceive that something evil was even walking in the midst of them. I'm not going to sit down on God because I want to know when evil's coming my way. I'm not going to sit down on Him because I want to know how to handle a thing when it gets bigger than me. I'm not going to sit down on Him and just let everything pass me by. If you don't want the extra slice of pie, then scoot it over on my plate because I want it all. If He'll let me have it, I want it. You might want to just say, I'm trying to watch my weight and I'm trying to do better in my life. But all the things that God wants us to change, we not changing, brother. So here's going to be the Jared sentence of the day. Are you ready? This is my word of advice to you. From one person that goes through things to another. As long as you have strength, I will to God that you don't dry up and die. Amen. Don't dry up and die. Because if you sit in that stagnant state long enough, you know what happens? The devil comes and devours all your goods. But I serve a God who's always with me. He's with someone who wants Him there. And He'll uphold you even when you're suffering. But when you begin to step into the will of His anointing, that's when that word comes alive that says, no weapon formed against you can prosper. So that means the fears that we want to hold on to and not let go on a daily basis, the anointing of God wants in there. He wants to take control, and He wants to help you get over things you feel like that you can't conquer. He don't want you to be afraid to go home by yourself at night. He don't want you to be afraid to wonder about if you're going to live or die tomorrow. He doesn't want you to have fear of just driving down the road to go somewhere. He doesn't want you to dread going to the mailbox to see if you've got any more bills that you can't afford to pay. He doesn't want you to walk in the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and love and sound mind. I don't even have to hear people shout and speak in tongues to know if God's with them or not, because you know why? You can hear it in their conversation in less than 5 minutes of time. You'll know if somebody's been with God or not based on the very words that they'll tell you. And I can guarantee you that if all of us were out in the world for a month at a time and we were suffering through things, the one thing we would not hear, you know what? You should come to church with me sometime. God can really give you help there. Oh, but we got every reason in the world to tell them why we're upset. Every reason in the world to complain. But you know what? God will be tolerable over your behavior for a season. As all temptations are temporary and for a season. So if you're tempted to sit down and just throw a fit and say, everybody's against me, and God, you're the only one that's with me, but I can't do nothing in the church I'm in because of how they're all holding me down, you'll get away with that for a season. But then there's going to come a moment where he's going to help you get out of it. And you can either receive him helping you or you can turn it away. I don't want to be an irrepentant person. I don't want to think that I'm good enough to not say I'm sorry. Because I know if I sure wronged you, you'd be waiting on an apology, wouldn't you? But yet when we wrong God, we'll go ages before we simply say we're sorry for something. And I don't know if anybody else has been here, but there's been some times that I was too afraid to even say I was sorry. And still try to go on and do all the things I would normally do. It would not feel true peace. There's been times I've lost sleep over things that if I would have just said, God, I was wrong, that I could have had a greater peace in me. Because here's the bottom line. We think that Satan comes in the moments that we're shouting. We think he comes the strongest when we're preaching and serving and prophesying and doing his will. But Satan has the greatest dominion in moments when you won't say, I'm sorry. He has the greatest power over you when you won't acknowledge in yourself that it's wrong. It needs to be different. And I could preach you all the way to heaven. But he said if you had anything in here that was not like him, any spot or blemish, that when you go to the kingdom of heaven and say, Lord, Lord, that he wouldn't know you. Because God cannot acknowledge and let in something that is not like him. And that means that you can't come in and pretend like you've got it all together and expect to deserve a blessing if there's things in you that need to change. My preaching didn't begin to prosper until I finally let go of every grudge that I had. I'm talking about hurts and hang-ups from my whole life. Until I let go and let God have it, I didn't grow. Not a single step. Until I learned to acknowledge that it's his way, his will, and his words out of me, and to stop trying to do it my way, I didn't grow a bit. Until I acknowledged everything in my life to him, I could not begin to grow. Today I'm stronger than I was when I first fell, Doris. And you know what? You all are stronger than you think you are. All of you. And I wish as a human being that I could be around enough, brother, to always say, you're going to make it. It's going to be good. You're going to pass the test. The life's going to be wonderful. But me as a human being can only do so much, go so far. But there are moments that when man couldn't do it, that God can. And without those moments, I would not have hope. Without that, I wouldn't be able to keep coming and preaching. Truth be known, church, I'm really proud of where we're heading. But I know that if we are wanting to accomplish something bigger than we are, then everything inside of what's in our inner closets have got to be empty. Every single demon that we fight inside of ourselves that nobody knows, we've got to address. Because if we're truly going to be a non-hypocritical Christian church, I didn't say non-denominational, I said non-hypocritical. Yeah. If we're going to be the kind of church that will not judge people, then we can't live with fault in us and expect to lead anybody better. The Bible said that kind of behavior is like the blind leading the blind. If I live my life in sin 7 days a week and you knew about it, would you have me to stand here and continue to preach to you? Would you respect me the way that you do? But there's an established trust because you know and believe that I'm trying, right? But we've got to take time every now and then as a church to minister to one another. And remember that, you know what? We all fall from time to time. And if we can't be willing to get our hands dirty, listen, there's been some times when I was growing up as a kid, we grew up with a family garden every year as long as I can remember. Till the ground, plant the seed, suffer in the sun, get bit by mosquitoes, bees, wasps, everything you can imagine. Nobody ever wants to get out and get dirty in the garden, but everybody sure enjoys the beans that are cooked at the end. We want people to be saved and delivered and want them to be walking in the presence of life and peace, but we've got to learn that it's not always glamorous. You've got to learn to come in from time to time and take risks, suffer a little bit in the sun, dig down and plant some seed even when nobody sees you plant the seed. Because I'm here to tell you, if blessings were based on what we've done, oh, never mind. If blessings were only based on works, then we wouldn't even get half of what we get. Without faith, works are meaningless. It's important to remember this, church, because here's the deal. People are going to come in our future. God has showed this to me, and he has showed me that I'm going to be a part of this move when it comes. But we can't continue to come in and have any more hang-ups, any more hurts, anything that will keep us from getting in his presence when his presence is moving. So I don't care what that is that keeps you from being able to lift your hand. Somebody just lift a hand in here right now. If that just felt uncomfortable to you, then think about what kept you uncomfortable. Let's put that one down. Let's bring the other one up if you can. If that is uncomfortable, if that just felt uncomfortable to you, then we need to do it more. Somebody look at somebody and say, thank you, Jesus. If that is hard for you to do, then we are not getting in his presence enough. Because here's the deal. It should feel more comfortable to prosper and be righteous than it should feel comfortable to sin. And it should feel more comfortable to repent of our problems rather than keep them inside. And if we were already blood-bought and redeemed, then there's nothing that is uncleansable. That means people like me that had no hope and should have been thrown in the garbage gets a second chance. I'm a second-chance guy. When others would have tossed me, Faye, God said, not yet. When they was ready to go ahead and just put Lazarus down for good, he said, you just be reminded, he's only asleep. When others would say that it's too late, the Spirit of God ought to be quickening in you to say, it's not over. Oh, I'm getting excited, and I don't want to interrupt this peaceful moment of dignity, but I'm here to tell you, you might think it's over, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost has come this night to tell you that God is not through with your situation. He's not done with you yet. If you're alive and breathing, don't dry up and die, because you've still got a reason to be here, a reason to survive. He called you to thrive and not perish. He said, it is not my will that anyone would perish. But what? To have what? Life. We'll continue on some of this some other day if God will be willing to allow the moment. But I want you to take what we have talked about right now and go home and think about it. Because I can guarantee you, if you thought about 10 seconds about things you could think could be different, you'll come up with a pretty good list. And I bet you might even have some things on your list to tell me that I could be different. Well, brother, I'd appreciate you more if you just shaved that old nasty beard off your chin. Brother, I'd appreciate you more if you wore black pants instead of khaki pants. Brother, I've seen those same shoes on you for 2 years. I wish you'd buy a pair because you're probably going to smell me out of the house of God. It's easy to come up with lists of criticism for everybody else. But what I want you to do over this weekend while you have an opportunity is think about the things that God is trying to talk to you about. Because I can guarantee you, the more that you give to him, the lighter you're going to feel. And the lighter that you feel, the more willing you are to move. I don't know if you have ever been on a medication or ever had a muscle pain or felt something that literally kept you from being able to get up and move like you want to, but it's hard. I had a lower back problem once, and I used to always just, you know, when you're young, you just think you're going to live forever and never have any pains or problems. And I remember growing up and hearing people about saying, oh, my back, and I used to just laugh and be like, oh, that's just a bunch of foolishness. How could their back ever hurt? Mine's perfectly fine. And then I had somebody rear-end me once in an automobile accident, and I went to go and play tennis like nothing ever happened a couple days later, and I went up to spike the ball, and it felt like somebody got into my bottom part of the back, jabbed a knife in there, and twisted it up. I couldn't move. And I went for 2 weeks in a very humbling experience. And when I got through with that, I said, God, I'm sorry I ever said any ill word about people that have back problems. Because I'm thinking to myself, now that I've been through it, how could I ever say a word? I know we've all been through things. And if we ever see anybody suffering, how could we ever say a word to them when we don't even know the whole story? God would have you to be the kind of person that will help pick them up. And He would have the kind of atmosphere. Are you ready for this? This may be too much for the hour, but He wants an atmosphere that when people leave that place, that they feel something telling them, get up from your problem. Get up and stop hurting in this. It's time for something new. If we can't convey that message by how we worship and how we enjoy ourselves in God, why do you think they'd ever come back to your church? They won't. And we will have failed them, and we'll be held responsible, and we'll go through dry places. Because you know what? No church is ever meant to go through a dry place. There's too many good things that God does for us to ever have a dry service. You might disagree. You might try to bring scripture into it, but I'm here to tell you, anywhere that God wants us to assemble should never be a place that when we leave, we feel worse than when we come. Because I don't want anybody to keep coming and telling me I wish that it'd be more on fire. Get on fire and try it. Stop telling people that you wish that it was on fire. Get on fire and try it. Stop telling people you want people to worship and enjoy it. Just get in and give it a go and see what happens. If you want them to sing faster songs, you get up there and sing a fast one. You want people to get up there and pray with people when they come to the altar, be the first one to get to them. See if that don't make a difference. I don't know what else to say. I feel complete in my heart. Has it got you thinking about something right now? Then I've accomplished what I set out to do. The Lord wants you to think about all these things that would keep you from being able just to simply worship Him. Because even in Job's worst estate, we'll talk about this later, even in Job's worst estate, he still acknowledged God. It wasn't glamorous. He didn't run a lap around the church. He didn't initiate a Jericho march going down through the streets of La Follette. He just simply said, though He slay me, yet will I serve Him. If you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll help you in all your things. Go ahead and stand with us tonight. I want to open the altar and extend an invitation for anyone that would be in the need of prayer. If someone would like, we can sing a song if you want to. Actually, I'd like that. And I want you to know tonight that God didn't give me this word for me to not acknowledge the fact that from time to time that we all have things that happen. And you know what? The Bible even talks about that there'll be a moment where you'll have a season of anger. But He also talked about not letting the sun go down on your wrath. That means that, yeah, you probably will have a reaction that's not very godly. But that doesn't mean that you've got to lose it either. It's normal to be frustrated. It's normal to not understand. It is perfectly natural to be confused about what's going to happen tomorrow. But the anointing of God is there to bring peace to you, that even when you don't understand where it's going to come from, how it's going to happen, when they're going to get touched, when a situation's going to get better, God gives peace for that to help endure us. Because if you were waiting for me to get up here and preach to you when I finally had it together, here's the truth. I'd never get to preach a sermon. There are things that God's still working in me and on me about. Because here's the deal. There's so much more that we could do that we're not doing. Now, you might be thinking, brother, you already do enough. You need to back off. But I can't run fast enough. I can't say enough words fast enough. I can't preach enough sermons now to feel like I'm accomplishing as quick and as urgent as the Spirit is quickening His people. Church, if you're hearing prophecy and feeling it and receiving visions about being in the last days, that means you ought to move with a sense of urgency. Because there are going to be things that are going to happen, even in your own house, that we need God to help us in. I mean, my own family can testify that things happened when we set out and had one good year out in the field going and singing and stuff. Well, I'll testify to you that we faced a very supernatural attack of the devil to try to come and destroy every bit of it. And even though we've all went through seasons of time where we felt like we failed God, every time that we ever turned back to Him, He was ushering us and saying, you know what? It's not over yet. You're not through yet. Not time to throw in the towel. Not time to blame everybody and say, I'm done. It's time to give God a chance. So as they come and sing tonight, if you are in need of prayer, we're here for you. And if you feel like that you've fallen and you just want to give God all these things that are keeping you from a true sense of joy and peace, that is what the anointing is here to minister to you for.